Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I'm sitting high atop the condo that I live in, and it is a beautiful fall sunset. You know, that orange and red. Big week for us. Eddie and Kaylee, my son Eddie and my daughter-in-law Kaylee, had the baby as I was announcing that they were going to have the baby. She is healthy, 7 pounds, 3 ounces. Funny story. They asked Ed to sort of sit outside while they prepped, and they left him outside until she said, hey, hang on a second, where's Ed? And they had started without him. So for all of you, those budding fathers out there, if you've been left outside, you better keep your eyes on the door and make sure you ask. But anyways, so it's been a really great week. And it's great to watch your kids sort of going through this period of their lives as they start to turn into a family. But it also makes you think about those members of your family that are no longer here that would have been so happy, in particular my sister Shano, who just loved kids but loved baby girls even more. She would have, as I said to Ed, she'd have been in the car, you know, the minute she got the phone call driving up here, as she had been for everybody else. So I got a couple of things this week. There's a couple of interesting things going on. So I've been working, I work with a number of people. And in the beginning, it's kind of interesting in the coaching practice. And it's hard to be you, to be yourself. And someone commented to me that they loved my line about, you know, introduce yourself to yourself from a couple of weeks ago. But I sometimes forget how hard it is for people. It seems to be a lot easier for young students. It's hard for people that have built a career following a certain protocol, got all their jobs following a protocol and a process. And we've spent a life of seeking validation elsewhere. Interestingly enough, you know, when I go through my process and then people do their infomercial, you know, I got to get them to synthesize it really crystal clear what they should pay, kind of people they work best with, how they resolve conflict, and a perfect day. And then they send it out to people, and almost to a person, they come back to me and they go, it didn't work. That person thought, you know, it was like, what is this? Like, why would you do this? And then they'd say, you know, I got to make some changes. I got to think about this thing differently. And I'd say, well, hang on a second. We're not looking for validation. We're looking for resonance, right? We're looking for it to resonate with someone. So if it doesn't resonate, it is even more valuable than if it does resonate. And what makes you think they know better than you do? And I was explaining to someone the other day, you know, my angst with my own sort of portfolio, in that, you know, for a number of years, I've thought that my broker actually knows more than I do. And what I've come to realize is that I actually know more than my broker, and I shouldn't be paying my broker to make suggestions to what I should buy and what I shouldn't buy. But you know how sometimes you think that the other person is a better expert than you, right? It's no different than the infomercial process. And I understand why people are. They just kind of get put off when someone says, well, what is this? I'm, you know, like this. Or you know, what you want to do, you can't do. But the reality is, it's hard to stand alone into the wind. It's hard to have someone say to you, you're a jackass, and that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and be able to say, yeah, okay, that's your opinion. I don't necessarily agree. And I'm going to seek my validation from other people that don't think I'm a jackass. I had a young woman on today that I just started working with, and she is a freaking force of nature. Like, she is just powerful. And right through the screen, and, you know, like just jumping in all over. And I'm fine because, you know, as people that know me, I interrupt all the time. But, you know, I said to her, you understand that, you know, your target rich environment and your personality index really is a narrow sort of world. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that powerful presence of your personality, it just pisses people off right out of the bat. They don't even care if they know you, right? Just the fact that you're that buoyant and that passionate and that all of that. And, you know, she said, it was kind of interesting. She said to me, you know, we've spoken once on the phone and once we've done a Zoom. How would you get that? And I'm like, really? And it's just funny to me that she can't see it in the same way, right? She can't see it. And like I did for many years, we seem to seek this part of us that looking for companies or looking for jobs where there's nobody else like us there, thinking that as a result of that, that they need us. But the reality is, if there is nobody else like us there, and if we don't have the power to change everybody to make more people like us, we're going to get ejected at some point in time. And I remind people all the time about this in my coaching practice, right? This is a journey. It's not a destination. We have this desire to put a point in time out in the future and find that destination. And what I've come to realize, and I was actually saying to my son Sam today at lunch, is I have zero ability to predict the future. But I do have great ability to predict how my behavior is going to get me to the future. And I was telling Sam today at lunch that, you know, when I was doing BayStreetDirect.com, which is a startup online IPO business, I would go to meetings and I would think, this is going to be a kick-ass meeting. You know, like these guys are going to get it and they're going to give us money and everything else. And I would come away from the meeting and I would be totally deflated. And then I'd had meetings late in the afternoon when I was on the road, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I was so bummed out from during the day that many, many times I said to myself, these things have low probability. I thought the ones in the morning were going to be great. And they turned out to be a bust. I had no expectations of these ones being great. And I almost canceled a bunch of times. And then, I don't know, because my bar was low or whatever, but I found that those meetings I was about to cancel were incredible. And they were incredible and insightful. And they helped me more than the ones that I thought would be fantastic. So it's always led me to this, you don't know until you know. But it's so hard for people to give up on that because they want the answer, right? They want to know that you're going to agree with them. They want to know that we're going somewhere. Like, what is the job I'm looking for? And I always say, I don't know. And they say, no, but what is it? And I said, I honestly don't know. You know, I talk about my friend, Mike McNair, who I coached, and he's now working for McKinsey in London. When we first started working together, there's just no way. We had that first drink. He said, I'm either going to go work for BlackRock or I'm going to go work in an investment banking business. Mike had come out of the PMO's office and we had met. And through this long, circuitous journey of education and exploration and positive and negative reinforcement, it brought him to this place in time that was impossible to predict. So why do we think that we can predict where we are? A prediction is based upon a certain amount of knowledge. As you add more knowledge to it, your prediction capability gets better and better and better. But in the case of myself and the work that I do with people, the knowledge comes from interacting with other people. The knowledge comes from someone saying, you're an idiot. You shouldn't be doing that, and not paying attention to them. And someone else saying, that's a great idea. And you say, maybe, maybe not, but I'm going to pay a quarter to see another card type of thing. And I know people know exactly what I'm talking about because everybody does it. I could almost set my clock to people in my coaching practice within days. So, you know, I get them to read the book and, or in some cases they don't, like I said last week. But you can almost set your clockwork to this. You know, people, you know, they love the book and then they sort of get into, and then they go, and then they oversell on the infomercial. They just pile in. It's like, and this, and I'm really good at this, and I'm this, and I love babies and dogs and puppies and cats. And it's like the giant slobbering Saint Bernard all over you. And I say, okay, less is more, less is more. And so we refine it, we refine it. And then I say, okay, we're going to send it out. And then they go, what? We're going to send it out? And you go, yeah, we're going to send it out. And then invariably they send it out. And sometimes they 50-50 shot. They get lucky and it resonates with someone. They go, that's awesome. Never seen anything like that. And they feel, oh, okay, well, that's pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. Or in this particular case, they get some smart ass says, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, you're never going to be more than you're ever going to be. Imagine how many people have been told you're never going to be more than you're ever going to be. Right here is one. And, you know, the thing is, and I used to listen to these people somehow or somewhere, even in my career, I'd listen to them. And now I've come to the point where I'm not listening to anybody. I'm going to find out for myself. Trial and error. So, you know, when someone says you can't do that. I'm like, well, I'm going to find out. And he goes, well, why would you bother? I'm telling you, you can't do it. They're never going to hire you. They're never going to do this. And I'm like, okay, you might be right. And it's the same thing in the coaching practice. It's the same thing I want to encourage people. Even if I'm not coaching and you're shadowing what I'm suggesting for your own life, right? Don't second guess. Don't prejudge. Just find out, right? Find out what happens when you put your hand on the burner. Put it on the burner. Find out, ouch, that's hot. I'm not doing that again, right? As opposed to, looks hot. I wonder if it's too hot. Is it hot? I don't know. Maybe it's hot, you know? What do you think? Do you think it's a hot burner type of thing? Go out and explore. Go out and find out on your own. Learn, right? Keep learning. So the next thing I want to talk about is someone close to me that I've spent many, many years with. The other day, got this fantastic job. Now, she had gone from, she was in a great job, but she'd only been there for about 9 months. And she said to me on a number of occasions, and she's young, by the way, she's very young, the job they promised me isn't the job that I have. The resources they promised me are not the resources I'm getting. And it's actually quite dysfunctional because there's competing factors within the organization. This is multi-billion dollar company. And she had made them aware on several occasions, not of her unhappiness, but how this wasn't why she came. And it takes courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage to do that. They say, oh, you know, plastic corporation. Oh, we'll fix it. You know, no, we're just a little behind. You know, don't worry about it. Be patient. And so on and so on. And she was patient and it just persisted and continued on. And unfortunately, nothing changed. So she told her immediate boss, you know, she's going to start looking elsewhere. And I think at first they didn't think she was serious, but then they started getting worried. And earlier this week, so it would be last week when you're listening to this, the CEO of this multi-billion dollar company came to visit her. I know, Katie's got a look of shock in her face. And that was the look of shock on my face, except I was on the other end of the phone. And I said, well, what do you mean, came to visit you? And she said, he came to visit me from a long way away. And it's a multi-billion dollar company. And he came to see her, just to see her. He said, we don't want to lose you. He said, I realize it hasn't been what we thought it would be, and so on and so on and so on. You know, what can we do? What changes can we make? And so on and so on. And she said, there's none. And I was so proud of her to have the intestinal fortitude, you know, I mean, not to be, I mean, obviously impressed and overwhelmed, but to stay resolute in why she was thinking about leaving. It was really interesting because the term she used with me that she said to me is, I don't have that spark. I don't have that spark when I get up in the morning and I look forward to coming here. I thought I would, and I did when I started, but I've lost that spark. And the path that you're taking me is not creating that spark. It's actually extinguishing it. I was so blown away. It is so hard to be in that situation, standing across from the CEO of this company, who's basically telling you, like, what do we need to do to get you to stay? And she said, if we'd had this conversation 3-6 months ago, I might not have had to have it with you. I could have had it with someone else. But at this point, it's too late. You know, for two groups of people out there, one that are at that sort of point, hopefully this gives you a little bit of comfort, a little strength. But two, for those ones that when the CEO or the boss or someone comes to lavish a little attention on you, and you start to buckle in your knees at the resilience that you had, think about this story. Think about, and this young woman is, you know, late 20s. She'll do well wherever she goes. She knows herself well enough that she's not afraid. You know, some people always say to me, well, you know, it's always nice if you have this luxury or that luxury. But, you know, what is the luxury? The luxury is finding the right opportunity. The luxury is finding the right job for you, because in that job, you will outperform. You know, I get the joyful opportunity every week to look at Katie's face across the Zoom screen. I can only imagine that she does not just have this joyful face when she is working with me, that she has it when she's working with all of her clients. And I think to myself, how great is that to be across from someone who's enjoying what they do as much as they do? And we all deserve that. We all have that right. We all should do it. Don't slough it off. Don't say, oh, well, you know, gotta take the good with the bad. You know, like, no, you don't. You don't have to take the good with the bad. You can say, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's fucking painful. It's you know, it's annoying. I don't have the spark. I don't enjoy it, right? Be honest about it. So there are three things this week that I want you to think about. But we're coming into, you know, we're getting close to Christmas. You know, things are starting to kick in again. We will be doing our, you know, time and review of our lives. I kind of feel like I challenge you to always to review your life. And I have my beautiful little thing here on my desk. And, you know, I'm going to dedicate this today to the young woman that I talked about. I can't tell you how proud of her I am, because I understand how much pressure that would put on someone to have the CEO, right? And so I have my great little thing, and I may have said it a long time ago, but if you haven't heard it, it says in quotations, "The devil whispered in my ear, 'You are not strong enough to withstand the storm.' Today I whispered into the devil's ear, 'I am the storm.'" And so I dedicate that to that marvelous young woman that was the storm and strong enough to stand up for herself. And I encourage and support you all to do the same. Thanks, everybody. Next week, we're going to have a wonderful young woman who I met as a Pilates instructor. She's going to tell you how she's taken her indoor Pilates business and built it all online. And it's actually really, really impressive. Her story, her life, she's incredible. And I'm really looking forward to having her on the show. Show is Be You, the world will adjust. And I continue to encourage you to do so. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.